to your Generic Live Show. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. This is a Sunday, diving into a brand new week, or switching one off, depending on your point of view there. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show. I can say this now because it is officially December. Merry Christmas and happy holiday season to from our family to your family here at the Generic Live Show. I feel like December, just quickly before we dive into the show, I really want to say this, and I'll be saying this a lot over the next couple of weeks, I feel like, as we head into the sort of preparing the best of 2016, and we'll get to a bit of that at the end of this hour, talking about best of the year sort of stuff, and next hour too, as we kind of tell you about what are the plans for next year. As we head into the end of the year, I feel like 2016 for this show has grown so much, and particularly coming in, I'm always grateful for our listeners, but I feel like this is like one full month of just giving our listeners a big sort of hug to tell them how thankful we are for you. Because if it wasn't for you guys throughout the year and us, me and people who helped me put the show together, if it wasn't for them, I think 2016, I don't think we'd be around. If it wasn't for you guys, if it wasn't for the support, I wouldn't be doing what I do. And I'd love doing what I do as well, but we'll talk more about that at the end of the show, about what we got coming up for 2017 as well, coming in, do it as well, and kind of as we round out the year here in December, this week we're doing a kind of a best of, for me, doing a, this is going to be, it's going to be really tough, doing a sort of best of 2016 personal highlights, real. Of course, we've got the best of 2016 in for the podcast, but to celebrate Facebook doing the year in review sort of thing, are we reflecting on the year that was 2016 in sort of the last segment in this hour, but just I feel like if I want to just thank the listeners for your support all throughout 2016, because I think 2016 for GLS has been the best year of it, and it's just given me this drive to continue into 2017. So onwards and upwards with the stuff that you like, which is not me drooling into the camera for 30 minutes about how awesome you are. But anyway, more on to heat waves. And the thing that makes the show so pertinent is live and local, and of course we cover the big topics, but I think the local topics, local Australian topics, is what comes first, and we've got a bit of that this week. We've only got a few international stories. It's fairly local, this episode, fairly Australian-based, except for a few stories here and there, and the last half of this segment's definitely not, but here we go. So Queensland and some parts of the Northern Territory experienced extreme temperatures, which saw 12 heat-related ambulance call-outs, and relief is not to be expected any time soon. While inland towns in Queensland's south have been the worst hit, several Brisbane relevants were treated for heat-related issues on Friday, and overnight a spokesperson for the State Ambulance Service told Channel 9 this on, that would be Saturday morning, quote, "We'll see how it goes today," in retrospect, in Saturday. "It's looking a bit cloudy at the moment, so hopefully there is some repetitive," that's not a word, that's definitely not a word, "overnight. Queensland coast will escape the worst of the current heat wave, but most of the rest of the state will swelter with temperatures hitting above 40 degrees overnight." There's a map of Queensland actually currently at the moment, going through monitoring some of the temperatures throughout the week, and inland still, you've got to think it's currently, this is updated an hour ago, so we're at about an Oh, no, about 20 minutes ago. About 20 minutes ago is the latest update. There are still some inland towns that are 36 degrees Celsius. This is at 9:40. There are still towns that are 36 degrees Celsius. The highest temperature in this heat ray was recorded at 47 degrees Celsius in Birdsville, where Windorah hit 45 and Southeast Gatton reached 39 and Ipswich got to 36, all in Celsius. Rural Fire Service and Assistant Coordinator Tom Dawson said the forecast heatwave and dry vegetation would create the worst conditions this bushfire season, with much of the state at severe or high risk. Quote, any bushfire in these conditions has the potential to gain intensity very quickly and more rapidly, making it extremely difficult to contain, Mr. Dawson said. Firefighters were yesterday battling blazes at Moorfield, north of Brisbane, Shoalwater Bay, north of Yeppoon, and Currumbla State Forest near Dolby, my old stomping grounds, but no houses were threatened. Statewide Queensland Ambulance Service recorded 6 call-outs for heat illness since the heatwave started and warned people to keep up their fluids and avoid being in the sun during the hottest part of the day. Weather Bureau forecaster David Barnard said sea breezes coming in the next few days would keep Brisbane and the coastal regions cooler than originally anticipated, with temperatures only slightly above average for this time of the year. Quote, people living inland as far as the outskirts of Ipswich might get the sea breeze to help cool things down, but further out, the breeze will arrive too late to help, he said. Quote, the same applies for inland from the Gold and Sunshine Coast. It's great, but inland on the flats, it's a lot hotter, unquote. There are storms expected over the weekend in the north and even as north as Roma, Mount Isa, Toowoomba, Warwick, and the Lockyer Valley. Now, here is, I think this is the Bureau.
Hello from the Bureau with an update on the hot temperatures and the heatwave conditions right across Queensland and into northern New South Wales. We've already had one day of extreme heat through these areas, and we can see here that the three-day heatwave forecast from the Bureau shows that the severe heatwave conditions are expected right across the weekend, with a pocket of extreme heatwave conditions over southern inland Queensland. Now, although that forecast only goes out for 3 days, this heatwave is quite prolonged and it could run well into next week as well. Now, this heatwave is a combination of not just the extreme daytime temperatures, but it's the overnight temperatures that are also well above what we'd normally see for this time of year. And it's the combination of that with no respite in the overnight period that does make these heatwaves really challenging for people with medical conditions, the elderly, the young, or those that work outdoors. And it's a good time to seek advice from your local health authorities on techniques of how you can beat the heat. Now, this heatwave is being generated by what's a very static weather pattern. We can see here that we look at the temperatures for this afternoon and into the evening. Really hot conditions right across Queensland. Temperatures well into the mid to high 30s and a lot of locations over inland Queensland up into the low to mid 40s. Into the overnight period, things cool off a little bit, but even by the time we get to the early hours of the morning, it's still in the low to mid 20s across a lot of these areas. So not much respite, and then as soon as we go into Saturday, the heat returns. It's really extensive across the whole country, and it's really only the southern parts of Victoria and Tasmania that are escaping this heat. But the worst conditions are definitely focused on inland parts of Queensland down into northern New South Wales. We can see the prolonged nature of this heat when we look at the forecast for the next 5 days across some of these areas. We can see that a lot of these Queensland locations and even northern New South Wales with Moree, temperatures don't drop below the mid to high 30s or into the 40s through this whole period. For places like Roma, we've already had a day where it's 40 degrees. So including the forecast period of the next 5 days, it's a run of 6 days in a row where we could see temperatures of 40 degrees or more. They haven't seen that in December since 1972. We're only at the start of summer, so now's the time to prepare for these heatwave style conditions. The Bureau's website is a great source of heatwave related information. You can check the latest forecast temperatures on the Bomb Weather app, and you can also follow us on Twitter.
That is That is the update from the Bureau. Yeah, from everyone here. Do look after yourselves. Do keep your fluids up. I think is probably an important message as well, to keep fluids up throughout this time. Keep plenty of water. I'm not one to talk, although I think pretty a lot of water actually of late, as well as other sugary drinks, which I do need to cut down on somehow. But I think heading into summer, water, and fluids especially, and do not stay in direct sunlight throughout these periods, I think is probably a good message as well. These heat waves as well do reduce for Queensland, according to the Bureau of Meteorology, but over the next couple of days and into next week, again, just try and keep inside, keep healthy as well, and watch out for those people that might be of in the class that always falls victim to these sorts of things, the elderly and the young, very young as well. I mean, I'm pretty lucky. I get to stay in aircon most of the day, but I do walk a lot, and I do have another job where I do work outside, so it's a bit difficult. So, but do keep the fluids up, seek shade where possible, and don't stay out in direct sunlight in a lot of these areas. I'm sort of lucky where we've only received 34, 35 degree weather over the last couple of days, which is not 40, but it's still still fairly, where's it going with that? I have no idea. It's still fairly warm. I'm trying to convert. Where are we? 35. It got to 95. So, Fahrenheit. So, do try and in some of these areas it got to as high as 41. So, it's summer, and this is the beginning of summer. I mean, we're at December 4th, and Christmas Day is typically the hottest day of the year for us, so I don't know how that's exactly gonna work out. But looking at these maps, these are prediction models, not official models, by the way. Want to put that out there. So if we look ahead for Saturday, Sunday, Monday, starting 03:12, extreme hot wave. Yeah, in the the audio said, extreme pockets in inland southern Queensland and reaching up as far north as most areas of Queensland, except for where I am. Seems to be getting off from this one, and in the Northern Territory as well. That extreme wave will reduce from Sunday, from today, Monday and Tuesday, but those heat waves still exist in inland Queensland and spread further into the Northern Territory. And the same for Monday, Tuesday, from Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, the heatwave forecast. That heatwave will weaken in Queensland, but still some severe heatwave conditions for northeast, Northern Territory, northern Western Australia, and parts of northern Queensland. Low intensity. Low intensity will still continue across Queensland southeast. Low intensity will be expected to reduce the map from those parts as late as Thursday, and they will continue in the northern Territory, northern Western Australia, and parts of northern Queensland in the Gulf and Cape York areas, with pockets of severe heatwave conditions, but not extreme. So the extreme heatwave conditions are past, thankfully. So, but just as a heads up for summer, this is just a heads up for summer. I will say this, I did see on Facebook that there is a swarm for Zupa Dupas. So we here at the house, we stocked up on Zupa Dupas from 2 months back. And they've come in handy this weekend. So we've got out scot-free here at HQ. We've stocked up on our Zupa Dupas early, so we don't have to. We're even halfway through that. Through our Zupa Dupas, so we've lucked out really well there. So, but some of people aren't so lucky. There are no fatalities, and I hope that there is no fatalities that come of this. That'd be kind of the worst from heat exhaustion, and this is close to Christmas as well. So we don't want to. We don't wish that upon anyone to suffer from that. Meanwhile, speaking of heat exhaustion, no, I'm just kidding. I don't know if that's a segue. Segue was terrible. So we mentioned a story last week. We want to update you on a story that we said last week about in the US election, how recounts were likely to happen. I am here to tell you that I was wrong. So, surprise! So, there is a presidential recount underway in Wisconsin. It's costing millions of dollars and diverting county workers from their normal year-end duties and raising questions about the integrity of the vote. What is expected to do is to overturn Donald Trump's victory in the state, which has paved his way to the White House. In fact, a non-for-profit group data shows that recounts will rarely result in victories being reversed. Trump won Wisconsin by more than 22,000 votes over Hillary Clinton, nearly insurable lead for a recount to overturn. Clinton's attorney Mark Ellis said in a post last week on Medium that he didn't expect Clinton losses to be overturned in Wisconsin, Michigan, or Pennsylvania. Wisconsin election officials, including the Democratic chairman of State Electoral Commission, all said they expected Trump's victory to stand. Quote, "I think it will be very close to what was reported on election night," Dane County Clerk Scott McDowell said on Thursday. Only three of 27 statewide recounts between 2000 and 2015 resulted in victory being reversed, according to Fair Vote, a nonpartisan group that tracks recounts. The most recent was a Democrat Al Franken's U.S. Senate win in Minnesota in 2008. The other two were Thomas Salmon's 2006 victory as an auditor in Vermont and Christy Jorer's win in Washington in 2004's gubernatorial race. Statewide recounts result on an average margin of... I can't do that. I don't know why my voice is so... an average swing of 282 votes in the frontrunners, or 0.0191% of the statewide vote, the group analysis showed. Even the candidate who requested the recounts in Wisconsin and other states, Green Party presidential nominee Jill Stein, didn't do it in the hope of improving her standing, even though she only got 30,000 out of the nearly 3 million votes cast in Wisconsin. That'd be impressive, though, if someone got 30,000 votes out of the 300. Stein said her intent was not to overturn the results of the election, but to ensure integrity of the vote, even though she has no evidence of wrongdoing. At least 51 Wisconsin counties are doing recount by hand, and another 9 are doing partial hand count, and 12 are relying on optical scanning machines. Now, yep, recounts are happening. Edgestwick gang. I think the only one that's been sort of reported is Wisconsin. That's the only one that has been reported. So there you go. We'll find out what the result changes in Wisconsin. That will not change the result of what happened here in Wisconsin. And again, I said this last week, and I'll say it again. I don't understand what Jill Stein's, of all people's, motivation was in doing this. I don't think, what's she going to get of this? Notoriety and name recognition? Well, it's a bit late for name recognition after an election, to be completely fair. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, continuing with some news of the land, a favourite radio duo quitting. We'll tell you more after this break as we continue here on the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us for a Sunday with Dale Campbell, GLS. Thanks for joining us. It's 10:22. Finally found the most generic live show. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday with Dale Campbell. Hello? Yeah. Okay. Thanks for technical difficulties. Yep, that's right, you guessed it. It's time to whip out the Christmas / jolly bumper music. So that it's the season for it. It's December, so we're getting into the Christmas spirit here at GLS HQ. So jump on it. Thanks for joining us here on a Sunday. So if you're Australian, or not even Australian, if you are a fan of radio, you'll definitely know this duo, Hamish and Andy, of Hamish and Andy. They confirmed on Friday that they are quitting radio at the end of 2017. Hamish and Andy have confirmed that they will no longer be returning to radio at the end of 2017. So they will be returning in 2017, but not at the end of it. That's their last year in radio. Pair make a shock announcement at the end of their 2016 show, and they're focusing on TV and quitting radio. Quote, it's a funny thing to call it a year out, Hamish Blake said. It feels a bit like we're making a big deal about dessert when we haven't even finished our entrees yet. For whatever reason, there's so much speculation about whether we're leaving radio. This is the first time we've known for sure what we want to do, and we've really let our listeners know so they can come on the ride together, and it can be a fun celebratory year, and we can go out on a bang. Blake added, it felt right going out on a high, quote unquote. We've never loved doing radio as much as we love doing it now. There's a perfect time to end. We're not ending tomorrow. We've still got another full year. We can really savour that, he added. Hamish added. Lee said the pair considered quitting the gig this year, but decided to give it 12 more months. Quote, we were potentially thinking about ending radio this year, but we're having too much fun, Andy Lee said. We just had to keep going, he says. Hamish and Andy little bit of backstory. Hamish and Andy became a comedy duo in 2003 after they met while studying commerce at the University of Melbourne. They began presenting a radio show on the Student Youth Network and a TV sketch called Radio Karate, which became a household name after they began hosting at the Drive Time Hamish and Andy show every weekday on the Hit Network, where you can hear them next year. They're not on the air for this year. They finished that. It became the highest rating radio series in Australian history. They made a brief appearance on Neighbours in 2008, and they made their own TV shows, Hamish and Andy's Gap Year and Caravan of Courage, a two-parter in which they compared Australia and New Zealand. That's right, because they did both and they wanted to compare the two. A 10 years in 10 week special will air on Monday the 16th of January 2017 while they complete their new TV show with their production company Radio Karate, which they will hope to be picked up by Channel 9. Hamish also appears in a supporting role in The Wrong Girl, based on his wife's Zoe Foster Blake's best-selling novel of the same name. From Monday, March 27th, they will return live to the Drive Shift for their final year of Hamish and Andy as we know them now. Yeah, it's weird hearing that they will no longer be on the air. It's strange. I've been listening to Hamish and Andy. I
never really. They've been on doing weekly and daily radio since 2006, and I've been listening to their daily radio shows. I never really got into. I did continue to listen to their weekly radio, but I was on and off in there. But I really got into their daily radio shows, and I feel like at them going away, they took, I think, a year and a half off, and they've been back for nearly a year and a half now as it is. But people move on to bigger and better things, and I think that this is definitely the case with Hamish and Andy, and they have projects in the wings, and they are two very funny people. If you haven't listened to Hamish and Andy before, they've still got the podcast up from this year. They are very, very good at what they do, so, and very inspirational people as well. So there you go. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, well, it is Christmas time, but it seems that motorists won't be getting the Christmas present that they deserve. We'll tell you more as we continue here on the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us. It's 10:30. Whether we're waking you up or putting you to sleep, this is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday with Dale Campbell. It's a pleasure to be here. We are whipping out the Christmas bumpers already. You know, we gotta get in early. You know, it's what we do. So. I don't know where I was going with that, but anyway, so, because it's December, you know, it's Christmas time, it's the holiday season, so happy holidays from our family to your family. It's going to be alright. You know what else is going to be alright? It's not going to be alright, actually. The decision to slash oil production says it's not good news for motorists, says the RACQ. Queensland drivers will pay more for fuel following a decision by the world's oil barons to cut production. The high prices could affect motorists over the Christmas holiday period because, well, of course, the international oil prices surged 13% yesterday following a landmark deal by the OPEC countries to limit output for 6 months to reduce a global glut. That's my favourite word ever. Actually, it's one of my favourite words. It's not the favourite word, but glut is sure a good word. This is not good news for Queensland motorists, RACQ Executive General Paul Turner said. We've got it pretty good for the last few months, with world prices remaining low, oil prices filtering through and will remain higher for some time. But Mr. Turner said the RACQ hoped the effect on Bowser prices would be limited to 5 cents a litre extra. We didn't expect it to peak to go much higher than 135 cents per litre. And that is, of course, for unleaded when they talk about this sort of stuff. The motoring group said it could be up to 4 weeks before consumers felt the additional cost. They, meaning fuel companies, paid the lower price for what is in the tanks, so they sell it at a lower price. We should not see an immediate spike. Unfortunately, we often see suppliers and retailers taking advantage. This could be a bit of a Christmas Grinch. But Fuel Track General Manager Jeff Torotta said, my guess is that they will jack up the price about 5 cents a litre next week. This deal, which takes effect from January, will see OPEC countries reduce their output by 33.64 million barrels a day by 1.2 million. Jeez. With a possible 600,000 barrel reduction by Russia and other nations. This news pushed up the price of Brent crude up to $52.54 a barrel within hours. Mr. Trotter said the production cut might not occur in countries such as the US, which is not an OPEC member, could boost their output. I mean, okay, first of all, if they wanted to, but why would the US... Okay, I have to address this before I finish the article. Why would the US, of all people, maximize their output? If they're not an OPEC country, why would they boost their output to the rest of the world? Wouldn't they... See, that depends. See, I don't know about the... I don't know enough about the oil trades to comment, but for me, I think if I was the US, I wouldn't jack up their output because they're not going to get much for it, if that makes sense. It's going to cost more for their output. I suppose it depends on the demand. If the demand's there, then the supply goes up as well. I don't know how that works, because the cost goes up and the supply goes up, but the demand goes down as well. Sorry, if the price goes up, the supply goes down, I think. I don't know. I failed first year economics the first time around. I had to take it a second time to pass it, so I'm the wrong person to ask about economics. But it makes sense, though. It's really weird. I know that the one thing I was taught by my economics lecturer, not at uni but somewhere else, was when thinking about oil, think the opposite, because it just kind of works the opposite, because the demand goes up, but so that doesn't necessarily mean that impacts the supply, if that makes sense. If the demand's at an all-time high, they're only supplying so much. They can only supply so much at a time. So regardless of the demand, they're always going to be supplying that same amount. So anyway, oil is the most confusing thing ever. So there you go. Take that on board for what it is. The effect on petrol prices here could be greater if the US Federal Reserve raises interest rates as expected in the next fortnight, leading to the fall of the value of the US Aussie dollar. Bingo! Which, okay, first of all, that's going to be interesting. Interesting note about the interest rates. But like we need more reason for the Aussie dollar to sink at the moment. The Aussie dollar against the US dollar is absolute garbage right now. It's because I've got a light PG rating. I can only use the word garbage. I can't really use much else. If it wasn't, I could use another word for it, which I will gladly reserve after this tone. There we go. I said the word, and there you go. I didn't use my dumb button. There you go. Hey, if it was last week, I would have muted my microphone all throughout this segment. I'm just kidding. Which, by the way, I have to address that real quick. It's been 42 minutes now, and I haven't addressed the elephant in the room. Yes, there was. I do apologize for the quality of the clip of the week. That was my black box recording. So, apologies if I did try. I did try and master it. I hope it came across. I hope it came across as good. But I do apologize for the audio quality on that one, because it was a backup recording and. Dumb me, forgot to unmute my microphone for the live show, but it was the clip of the week, so do go to the podcast feed and listen to the, if you did miss that second segment of the show, and you would have, because I was muted, which is why if you hear furious mouse clicking, it's me checking every so often if my microphone is unmuted, because I'm a dummy. Anyway, back to oil. So here is a brief explanation about how high oil prices could mean 1-2 punch to Asia's demand.
Rising oil prices in the wake of OPEC's production cut could deliver a 1-2 blow to demand among Asia's emerging energy importers, where weakening currencies have already led to higher prices. China and India, the world's second and third largest oil consumers, have seen their currencies slide against the dollar in recent weeks. But it's not all bad news for China. While imports get more expensive, domestic production will also get a boost from higher prices. That will help its struggling oil companies make up for their recent slump in profits. Since oil is priced in dollars, it makes crude more expensive in local currencies that have weakened against the greenback recently. In terms of Indian rupees, for example, the price of a barrel of oil has actually risen 8% in the last month. Emerging market currencies have fallen sharply in the last month against the dollar. Investors are placing bets on higher interest rates in the U.S. and the prospect of reduced global trade under a Donald Trump presidency. Asia is home to some of the world's fastest-growing economies and energy consumers, though the pace has slowed down recently alongside economic growth.
That's Don Strumpf from the Wall Street Journal. That's an interesting point. It is. We've got to keep this in mind. It is sold against US dollars. So if Australian dollars, and don't include the production cut for the time being, because we'll get back to that. So with the production cut as well. Sorry, not including the production cut. Just looking at the normal selling and trading. So, it's sold by the barrel in US dollars. So, in terms of local currency, we've got to buy it in US dollars. So, in terms of buying it, it's. In terms of buying, it's going to be a lot harder if local currency is going to be kind of hindered. I guess that makes sense. But then put in this production cut, that's going to make the supply go down as well. So in terms of Asia's demand is going down naturally, but apart from that, The U.S. and the reduced, don't get me started on how the Trump presidency is going to affect all of this stuff. And spoiler alert, that's definitely going to be in the prediction show coming up here in January. But I feel like the supply is definitely going to impact those markets that already haven't gotten a demand cut as well. Like Australia, for example. Aha, see? I tied it back. But with the production cut as well on top, I feel like that is going to drive down the supply, particularly this time of year. Now, the way, I disagree with this article. I am definitely not going to blame the service stations for this. They're forecasting a supply cut. Therefore, they have to ride up the price a little bit so the demand is reduced as well. So they've got the reserve supply, quote-unquote reserve supply, so they've got some backup for when this production cut does come into effect. I don't understand why this article's making the service station be the bad guy here. The service station's not the bad guy. I mean, don't get me wrong, it sucks either way. I mean, I don't drive, so I'm the last person to talk about anything to do with a motor vehicle. But for me, I think I'm not going to blame the service stations here. If they raise their prices slightly in anticipation for this, because they have to drive down the demand somehow to try and compensate for the supply being decreased. And the only way to do that is to, because you can't put a cap on your fuel tanks. You can't say we're going to drive down demand by making sure that everyone uses 20 liters only. You can't do that. So the one way that they can do that is by driving down rising prices. That's the other thing they have. They have fuel and prices. And the one thing they can sort of have more control over is the price. So, again, I will say this, it does suck that this happens this time of the year, particularly with Christmas and with people traveling, and I hope everyone, if you are deciding to travel at this time of the year, please do travel safely. I mean, we don't want any accidents to occur. So, but again, the two variables here at play is the gas itself and the prices. And the one thing that they can impact more than the other is prices. Now, they can leave the prices down, and the risk with that is, before we take our break, the risk with that is running out of petrol. Now, the worst thing I've ever seen at a service station, the worst thing for the service station particularly, is to run out of petrol. And particularly at this time of the year, particularly where I live, you've got cyclone season. So, and people stock up on fuel when there's a cyclone warning because the supply gets cut because it comes by truck where I live. So the production gets cut, and imagine if the price is still low, there's not going to be much stock there to begin with anyway, let alone that increased demand, the crisis demand, if you will. So anyway, there you go. There's your economics 100. I'm not going to say 101. It's definitely 100. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, well, Facebook has done a year in review for people's profiles, and we're going to run through some of the highlights from my own. That's right. We're going to take you down the road that was Dale Campbell in 2016. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, thanks for joining us. It's 10:50.
Want a custom computer? Want to run the latest games at the highest graphics with no lag? Want to build a computer that can make and edit movies or videos like them there professionals? Pugin Systems has your solution. Go to geek-io.net/pugin to build a brand new custom computer. We'd like to thank Pugin Systems for their support of
this Geek.io podcast. Is proudly sponsored by T-Fury. T-Fury is the home of your t-shirt needs. Well, we're all geeks, and we all love wearing t-shirts because, well, society tells us that we can't walk around naked, allegedly. So we've got you covered. T-Fury is the home of T-shirts with geeky designs from independent artists. What's there not to love? T-shirts, geekiness, indie. Yay! When you're ready to go check out the range, use our affiliate link over at geek-io.net/T-Fury so we can get a little bit of a kickback off any T-shirt that is bought from the hundreds of T-shirts available at T-Fury. T-Fury, the match made in heaven. A match made in heaven is not actually the T-Fury slogan, although I don't actually know what
this podcast is proudly sponsored by Amazon. Amazon has all of your needs for all occasions. Amazon stocks a large range of
its affiliates or sponsors. Pretty much everything. Everything from automotive to baby to computers, payment cards, groceries, health and personal care, and everything for Amazon Kindles, ebooks, movies and television, magazines, office products, and stuff for your patio, lawn, and garden. Hey, they even sell sports goods. If you're into sports ball. If you're ready to check out the range at Amazon.com, use geek-io.net/Amazon to help out the Geek IO Podcast Network. We get a little bit of a kickback through our affiliate link there. That's geek-io.net/Amazon. Amazon. Everything for every occasion. Everything for every occasion may not be the official slogan for Amazon. Some products not available in all areas.
You finally found the most generic live show. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. That's right, we are whipping out the Christmas bumpers because it is Christmas time. It is the holiday season. Happy holidays from our family to your family. And of course, you know what that means. I'll be drinking out of my Merry Christmas mug for the next month because I am. It's a holiday spirit. You got to get into it. And December is definitely filled with that sort of joyous time. And Facebook, every year, around December time, they put up a sort of best of your year in your profile. So I've done mine. Now, look, this is the first time, and I think probably, it's not the last time, I don't think, because we do have a Best of 2016 show coming up at the first of the year. I'll tell you more details in the next hour, before the top of the next hour, what that involves. Now, but for me personally, I mean, there's been some really spectacular show highlights. This year, 4GLS has been spectacular. It's been, well, yeah, we've had our misses here, there, and everywhere, but 2016 has definitely, if it wasn't for the, like I said at the top of the show, if it wasn't for the listeners, I wouldn't still be doing the show. I think the listeners have definitely encouraged me for doing more of this show, and that'll be, I'll tell you more details about how the show Best of the Year will work. But in terms of personal sort of events, now, I'm not going to be talking about one of them, and for good reason. And all I will say is this. That was neither person's doing, if that makes sense. Now, I have been asked if I'm going to be making a public comment about that. No. And I feel like that would cause too much damage if I did make a public comment about that.
And for me, I feel like 2016 has been, well, that event definitely, definitely happened in 2016, obviously, otherwise I wouldn't be talking about it. But there has been other pillars of 2016 that has made 2016 uniquely different, which is why I'm saying that 2016, while it hasn't been a great year, is definitely not the worst in my lifetime. Like this video, we're running through the video, and the first thing in the video is from January 9th, where I, along with Rachel Boat, from Geek.io, we partaked, I'm holding this up to the camera now, the Disney half marathon. It was my first half marathon, and I want to do another one. Particularly a Disney one, because the Disney marathon was definitely something special. It was definitely something to behold. It was an experience. So that occurred. That was a big feature in the video. Another one that Facebook reminded me of happened on May 13th. Now, you might be thinking, I don't know why I'm including this. Why this included it in my video was someone at work decided that I would be crowned the Nightfill Princess. I was crowned Woolworth's Nightfill Princess, and I have a pretty pink tiara. I should wear it on the show sometime, but yes, I definitely have a tiara to crown. I was crowned Red Lynch Nightfield Princess, and humility ensued. Then for some reason, there was a random selfie from July 20th, which made the highlight package. I don't know how. On October 9th was my professional HR presentation, which absolutely nailed. I got a high distinction in that essay, so that the suit jacket was definitely worth it. October 9th, the professional HR presentation was from. We continue on to one of my best friends, Maddie, who helps out with the show and was guest on the show this year, so she'll make it into the Best of the Year package. It was her birthday on April the 3rd, and it was a pleasure to be there for her on her birthday. July 27th, that's when me and Maddie, the aforementioned Maddie, and another friend of mine, Ashley, were featured in the local newspaper as trying to sell the local college, made it to page 9. I was so proud of myself. I made it into the local newspaper. So the story write-up about how the mid-year for the university campus and the market day. And August 21st, that featured some photos from my trip to Melbourne, my holiday to Melbourne. I think the two pillars of 2016 were my vacations, my trip to America in January and my trip to Melbourne in August. Definitely a huge debt of gratitude to those people who I both met on that trip and who CJ and Brendan, both of which, CJ for the American trip and Brendan for the Melbourne trip, I owe both of them a huge debt of gratitude for making sure I had a fantastic holiday in the US and in Melbourne, respectively. Then there was a picture from half marathon, and then bizarrely on June 21st, my friend posted to my wall a garlic bread stand. Now, if that joke doesn't sound familiar, I wouldn't blame you. But 2016 has been filled with garlic bread memes as well. Look them up on Facebook. Garlic bread memes. Garlic bread is my life. And in 2016, I can safely say that garlic bread is the love of my life. but it's true. It's garlic bread has been there with me through 2016, through thick and thin. But that's some personal highlights from the year that Facebook pulled out, and they're definitely, definitely some pillars of the year. And, well, there you go. 2016, I'm going for a walk as we continue here on the Generic Live Show. So, negative gearing is in the news again. We'll tell you why, if we really have to, as we continue here on the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. It's a pleasure to be here. It's 11:01.